This week, the blether is about choices. We have the craft fairy and the Scottish segment returns. I have the news, the hellos and the updates from the Caithness textile artists, Femto Group and the Spinning Guild. And this week I have renamed the business section to the Craft Chamber of Commerce and we focus on sandy spinners. I'll let you have all the links in the show notes that come with the place that you download this from. So relax and get the links later. So get your tea and your craft and I'll tell you what your crack is in Caithness this week. Firstly, as ever, the blether, which is on choices. Life is one big choice. As I wrote this, David Cameron, my Prime Minister, I didn't vote for him, said he had no choice but to cancel the building of 8 new Nimrod aircraft, which to be based in Kinross and Murrayshire. Well, Mr. Cameron, you did have a choice. You just chose a different route, so take responsibility for it. Actually, I wrote this blether out before, and, I think he was a bit narky when I wrote it the first time. I have Daisy to laugh at us at the end to cheer us up. But if it does get grumpy and you're in a low mood, just skip forward 5 minutes and I'll not be upset. So, choice. The Wikipedia definition is, choice consists of the mental process of judging the merits of multiple options and selecting one of them. Everything is a choice, whether it's to get up, to stay in bed, to write this podcast, do my round robin scarf, or fold the 3 loads of washing, or sit with my feet up and listen to the new installment of Electric Sheep. I am fortunate that I live where I live, and I can pretty much have free rein on what I want to do and choose to do with my life. Some countries in this big glorious world of ours do not. For instance, in this country I am female, I can vote in the election, I can walk around outside with very little clothes on, although, if you don't mind, I won't this week because it's been snowing and is blowing a gale from the north. I can drive a car and be out in public without an escort of any kind. Some countries in this world do not allow women to do these things, which I take for granted. So whether you agree with them or not, this is the world we live in. Someone, at some point, chose to make these things law, for whatever reason betook them. Has anyone read A Thousand Splendid Sons by Kahil Hosseini, excuse my pronunciation as usual, about two female stories in Afghanistan from 1960 to 2003? One of the females is forced to wear a burqa, which is an enveloping outer garment worn by women in some Islamic traditions, which cover their bodies in public places. These have actually just recently been outlawed in France. Now, in Western culture, most females would be shocked and completely against wearing these and what they stand for. But this book gave the other side of the coin. The character used hers to hide in, as she had very low self-esteem and was extremely shy, but she felt she could go out into the world and see things and not have to cross the line of having her face exposed. I had never thought about that side of the argument for these. So just because one culture likes them and another would not. But consider this quote. You never really understand a person until you consider things from his point of view, until you climb into his skin and walk around in it. And this was spoken by Atticus Finch from To Kill a Mockingbird by Harper Lee. I've read this a few years ago and it is a fantastic read. If you see it, grab it and give it a read. You will probably see Gregory Peck in your mind's eye as you read it. But then again, that's your choice. The best news story of the month is the Chile miners, who have all been rescued successfully. Yay! Now who didn't shed a wee tear of relief when they came out? Because I sure did. And I think it's one of them where were you moments. I reckon those miners had a choice down there. They go mad, give up, or they buckle down, go to the depths of their strength, band together and never give in. And boy, did they do it with dignity. And Chile and I am so proud of them. Well, maybe not quite so much about the one that was having an affair, but hey, not everybody's perfect. So they'll all have difficult choices to make now, who to sell their story to, and do they go back down that mine? And my guess is, yes, they will. So crafting choice. Do you choose to craft because you have to? Well, I very much doubt it, because then you would likely be doing it as a job. And we are pretty much out of the days when you simply had to make your clothes as there were few or no shops. We're not in the Stone Ages anymore. I choose to craft because I love it. I love the relaxation it gives me. I love the purpose of it all. I am making something I love that I can be making a gift to give to someone to snuggle their precious baby into so that my hand made it and it helped them. I love the nurturing part of that. I can make something to keep my bairns warm when we're out in the biting cold northerly wind. I chose to craft to learn something new. And life to me is about learning. Some people choose to go back to education through further education like masters, PhDs or degrees. And when I finished my university education, I knew myself that I had had enough of it, and any further learning would be something that was practical and had physical purpose for me. So I'm done with academia, and I am not downing your choice to do so. If you are in books or exams, I was just fortunate that I did all my academia in the first part of my life. So if you've got books and exams to do, get on with it. Come on, I'll be your cheer squad. My learning is all about new skills for crafting. The feeling of satisfaction as I finish a project can only be described as bliss and smugness. That's enough to wipe the smile off a Cheshire cat. The choices for crafting are absolutely endless and gloriously exciting. For instance, my Christmas cards. Do I buy cards ready folded with envelopes to make it quicker? Or do I go through my very big stash of card stock and cut it up? What size do I make them? Do I have enough handmade envelopes to send them in? I know I need about 150 and then another 20 for Sandy's little pals. Do I paint them? Do I stamp them? Or I use ready-made toppers and make my own. Do I have enough time to do this all? Well, I am okay at project management, so I know what I can drop to fit them in. And I'll let you know what I do as time goes on towards Christmas. Then there's knitting and crochet. I choose to do a knitting project and then a crochet project in that order, and this is for a few reasons. One is so that I don't lose enthusiasm for the chosen craft of the day, as I can get a bit bored with just knitting and knitting and knitting, or just crochet, crochet, crochet. So it's good to break it up with a wee bit of each. Another is I find my hands and my wrists tire after endless knitting or endless crocheting, and I find it's good to take a break from all of it. I would recommend that you take little breaks often from your crafting, as you've only got your body for however long you have it, so try and take care of it. And then there are the colour choices. Ooh. Yes, ooh. Some of you love natural colours for every craft. Some of you will love bright, bright colours, and you won't use anything of a natural, muted colour. Some of you will only wear black. Granted, you may be the Grim Reaper, but hey, I bet even Death wears a bit of purple occasionally. It's a scientific fact that colour can affect our moods, and they use this in office builds. Well, in good modern office builds. Scottish Water's head office in Dunfermline has calming greenish-blue working areas and red small meeting rooms in the front office. And this is because you need to think fast and proactive. And the ferry from Orkney mainland to Westray has a brown lounge, and my goodness, was it depressing. If you're about to decorate your house or office, think about what choice of colour you are making before you purchase that tin of paint. And the same goes for clothes. Choosing colours that enhance your natural colours is supposed to boost your confidence. Also, if you're in a bad mood, dress up. It cheers you up to think that you've got your best pants on, or your favourite shoes. And this goes for men as well as ladies. We are often drawn to the same lot of colours when buying our craft stuff. So next time you find yourself standing in the craft shop with no particular colour in mind, put some money in your pocket burning a hole. Buy something that you wouldn't normally buy. I bought a natural ball of North Ronaldsay the other day. I was going for the dark purple to match my hat and lots of other purple things I have, but I went with a natural arran instead. I haven't done anything with it, but it's there. Choose what you say wisely. We have 2 ears, 2 eyes and 1 mouth. That's partly why I script this podcast, as I am funnier if I've had a bit of time to think about what I want to say. Personally, I think that's really funny that I've written that down. Choose your friends with care too. Sometimes friends choose you. Have a range of friends around that you'll love and care for you in the manner that you should be loved and cared for. Also, choose to show the same love and care back to your friends. It's easy to be selfish and take all the time, but giving back to others who need it is a gift in itself. Also, choose to have friends that are actually friendly, and not using them to make them feel better about themselves by belittling you. I'll tell you a wee story about one of my so-called friends who told me that my darling daughter, who is 2, was a little show-off just like her mother. It was one of quite a few comments along those lines, and I thought to myself, this person is not really enhancing my life, so therefore not really my true friend. And I choose not to hang out with them now, and, well, don't worry, they don't listen to this, I'll not be lynched tomorrow. And I suppose I could have had it out with them, but I shouldn't really have to, should I? Choose to be environmentally friendly, as we only inherit this planet from our children. Go green where you can and consciously recycle or be ethical in your purchases. The song this week is Should I Stay or Should I Go Now by The Clash, which sums it up. What a choice. You go listen to this using the link to YouTube after you've finished listening to me. That's Nick and Law, by the way, you can't go away and then come back. Also, in the 1996 film Trainspotting, based on the book by Irvine Welsh, Ewan McGregor,
oh, hello Ewan,
his character, the anti-hero Rent Boy, utters the immortal words at the end of the film of this. Choose life, choose a job, choose a career, choose a family, choose a big television, choose washing machines, cars, compact disc players and electrical tin openers, choose good health, low cholesterol and dental insurance, choose fixed interest mortgage repayments, choose a starter home, choose your friends, choose leisure wear and matching luggage, choose a three-piece suite on hire purchase in a range of fabrics. Choose DIY and wondering who you are on a Sunday morning. Choose sitting on that couch watching mind-numbing, spirit-crushing game shows. Stuff junk food into your mouth. Choose rotting away at the end of it all. Paying your last in a miserable home. Nothing more than an embarrassment to the selfish brats you have spawned to replace yourself. Choose your future. Choose life. How cynical is that? He was the anti-hero after all. And there was swearing in the real version, and I've replaced it with, you might have noticed this. So whatever your choices are in life, take responsibility for them and choose wisely and have a good time doing it. Okay, moving on. Warning, if you need a pee, stop, then come back because it's time for the Deezy Laugh. So, the Craft Fairy segment. This is a subliminal message for a monochrome sheep who needs to buy his lovely wife some more wool. I know you'll be asleep just now, so you will only remember to buy wool when you wake up, but not how you know. Now, for everyone else out there, I was round at Sarah's the other night, and her hubby said that he had my podcast on the iPod when he was away working. He fell asleep listening to music, but woke up listening to my dulcet tones, which disconcerted us both rather a lot. It was wrong. So, if you're asleep, O monochrome sheep, we all want presents of wool. And sending get well wishes to Kelpat on Twitter, who's having a rather hard time of it just now. Also my Daisy, who tripped up and fell into the outside front wall and had a very grazed head, bless her. And her little friend Martha, who has chicken pox, poor wee soul. But the good news, Taffophile has left a message to say that her mother is on the mend and has decided to get the sewing machine out and is currently stealing all Taffophile's stash. She really must be on the mend, so thank you, Craft Fairy, and keep getting better, Taffophile's mother. The Hello section. We have now been joined by the Russian Federation, Kuwait, Korea, Denmark, Turkey, and Mongolia. Go us. I should really look up to how to say hello to all of you in your own language, but as you'd all fall about laughing at my pronunciation or lack of it, I'll just say a big Scottish, how's it going? If you can't understand anything, please message me and I'll translate. That sounded so much better when I actually wrote it down in my head. Hello to Harry Horror, Fibercrafter, Buggy Knits, D. Lotter, who you really have to go and have a look at some Harmony gloves that she has designed, whom have joined the group in Ravelry. I've had some lovely message from everybody on there this week, and you cheer me up every time you say hello. Hello to all the new Twitters, whom are actually a bit too many now to mention, but say hello to me on Twitter, I'll Twitter back. News section. The Maud in Caithness last week went off a treat, and there was a big party for the whole week. Even Prince Charles came up to give out the medals and awards. Congratulations to all those that took part. And I have a little story about it too. My hubby has a colleague on the island of Isla who is doing the same sort of work for a marine tidal device that we are here, but well, they're a little bit further down the line. He was up for the Maud with his family, and he visited us one day to talk to hubby about work. He had with him two bairns, and one boy who was four and one wee girl who was two. And my two came in and were delighted with these little eelichs to play with, who spoke fluent Gaelic. Hobby was chatting and had met this colleague quite a bit over this year. And they knew each other quite well, and his wife wasn't there, she was working off at the Maud. And as we were comparing the ages of the bairns, he said his boy was born in February, same as my Sandy. Oh, that's funny, I said. I was in hospital in Glasgow when I was having Sandy, and there was a lady from Isla who worked in the Bowmore distillery, who was just about to have her bairn. I wonder if you know her. Then he said the date of the boy's birthday, 2 days before my Sandy. I looked at him. I squinted. Is your wife called Ishbel? Has dark hair and was in the Queen Mother's to have her boy? I asked. Yes, he said. Well, I was in the one sitting in the bed beside her. And then he remembered me and we had a long conversation about Scottish power at the time. I had been quite ill when I was there and I looked completely different to him. So, fair enough, he didn't recognise me straight away. But he did remember speaking to me. And I hadn't found out what they had had at the time, but I had asked another Eilidh 4 months later to be told that she'd had a boy and all was well. So then I'm told their little boy's name, Alex, short for Alexander. And you'll all know that my Sandy's short for Alexander. And these are born 2 days apart in Glasgow. Neither of us knew each other before. We live 300 miles apart. And there he's sitting in my kitchen eating biscuits with my Sandy. And I just about cried tears of joy, because I've often wondered about them and their boy, and they were really nice to me in a very difficult time in my life. And Ishbel's about to have her third child, so all the best to her, and I'll let you know what she has when I find out. We're due to visit Islay next month for work, and we'll catch up then. We were also over in Orkney again, this time on the island of Westray, visiting friends for the weekend. There was an arts and craft coffee afternoon in the hall, conveniently put on for me, I suspect, and a lady was demonstrating spinning. So, of course, I wheedled over and had a good blather with her. And she was very generous and talked to me for a while. She showed me her hand dyed and she told me what was what. And there was a Kool-Aid and there was plants dyed and then there was Iron Brew. Now, for all non-Scottish people, Iron Brew is our other national drink. It's a carbonated flavoured orange drink, kind of like Orange Coke. It also outsells Coca-Cola in Scotland. Other Coca-Cola drinks are available, I believe. The advert stated that Iron Brew is made from girders. I actually used to believe this too when I was little. I did. It's a bright orange and apparently it's a very good hangover cure, but I'm not so keen. I'm sorry, maybe I'm not really Scottish. And she said, put the wool in the Iron Brew in the microwave for 8 minutes, cover it with cling film and voila, orange wool. Because the food colouring from the drink goes into the wool. So, has anybody tried this with Coke or anything other? Answers in a postcard. I made it to the Hume Sweet Hume shop in Pirriwall, which is on the craft trail for Orkney, and it's lovely. I walked in and it was like Sarah should have been in there. It sells beautiful gifts and knitted clothing. I bought some ribbon and it was wrapped in a wee white gift bag and a little rose wrapped through the hole to keep it together. It was wee pretty. The owners are lovely. And they sell drink, so what more do you need? Craft, drink and crack. I have mentioned my North Ronaldsay wool I got. Ahem. Yes, I know I said I wasn't going to buy any. Well, I bought Mum some as a present for looking after the dog for the weekend. And I got me a ball too. And this was from Tate and Style in Kirkwall. I also bought a couple of wee bags of roving and a navy blue just to see what it would be like to spin with. I know I said I would just do my own fleece, but it was very cheap. No more, I promise. I will not buy any more. If the craft fairy was to deliver some, obviously I would have to use it up. Subliminal message back there to Monochrome Sheep. Also, there's a wee tiny art shop in Bridge Street that I found and I bought a sketchbook for doing painting and blotching lines a la Evelyn Ramsey. I got a couple of watercolour pens. I've never used them before, so I'm all arted up, baby. Coming up on the 28th to the 31st of October in Glasgow, SECC, is the Craft and Hobby Fair, which is always worth a lookie. I was there last year, but I have decided to go to the one in March, because it's on twice a year next year, for my mum's big birthday coming up. As she's a lady, I'll not be able to tell you what it is, but I think you'd probably guess. It's not so brilliant for knitting, but, or really quilters either, they have the odd thing. But if you're a card maker or scrapbook or a cross-stitch enthusiast, this is the fair for you. Have fun at it all and tell it I'll be there in March. The Scottish segment has returned. This episode's history lesson will take us from the Stone Age up to the Roman Age. Yarn Salad has a special request about Iona, and I was looking for that, but it comes up in the next episode or I'll be out of sync. I have tales of Iona, and so that's a wee trailer of things to come, and some bonny photographs. Now, we were in the Stone Age Scotland a couple of episodes back, and now we've got to go 2000 years BC when the Bronze Age Celts came from Europe, and and they took weapons and axes and farm tools and jewellery. Well, it's about time they got the jewellery sorted, and they make us all look pretty. Actually, I know that jewellery was a sign of status, because if you had the manpower to make jewellery, then you must have had been like the big top dog in your tribe. Because if you really basically were a person, you would be making food. And then the Iron Age came about, which meant bigger weapons and chariot wheels. So the big baddie Iron Age Celtic warlords fought their way along Europe and into Britain and Ireland about 4th century BC. They got to the Northlands about 750 BC and, well, basically took over as they had superior weapons and were big and bad. There was a bit of a time here for raids and fighting, and brochs and crannogs were invented as defensive settlements. A crannog is a round wooden building built on an artificial island with a wee causeway which is hidden along the water to access the crannog. A broch is a circular stone structure which could be as high as a four-storey block of flats and 45 feet across, and this was all built 100 BC. And they didn't have cement then, so it was all stone built and fitted in. There was only one tiny entrance into an easily defended tunnel, and most of the brochs sited on the north and northeast coast of Scotland and on Orkney and the Western Isles. In 80 AD, invaders came from the south on foot by the Romans, and they called the land north of the Firth of Forth Caledonia, and it was the edge of the Roman Empire in the northwest. A Roman general called Aricola, I like how he's named after a soft drink, came and took the land south of there. But the northern tribes, led by Calculus, the swordsman, I'm wondering what he was good at. Do you reckon he was good at embroidery? He kept them at bay until 84 BC. Well, they were beaten at Benachie. But in 122, Emperor Hadrian decided to let them be. Good for him. He built a wall to keep them at bay from the River Tyne to the Solway Firth, basically chopping Scotland off the top. Another wall was built further north from the Clyde to the Forth then, but in 180 it was destroyed and the Romans retreated back south of Hadrian's Wall and they never came north again. So, there you go, we've not been conquered by the Romans and are pretty scary Northlanders who like to get dressed up in war paint for a fight. Not much has changed there then. Next week, I'll take you through to St. Columba's time and into the Viking realms and then up to the times of the kings of Scotland. I hope you're enjoying this history lesson and I'm not making it too dry and you're not falling asleep like the monochrome sheep. So, Caithness Textile Artists. It was a quieter day at Textile Artists this week, holdy, holdy, holdy. But as ever, there was show and tell and Juliana had taken in her sewing machine and was carrying on machine embroidering her memory quilt. Her story quilt is about her life in Caithness and her move here, because Juliana hails from Madeira and has a lovely other point of view coming from at craft from a different background from me. Carmel was carrying on sewing together her memory quilt. She's at the I'm sick of the sight of it stage. And I say leave it, go back to it in a week, but no longer, because you'll leave it alone for good. Like some of my stuff. However, Helen is an inspiration to us as she has had Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones and Men in Black shooting all the UFOs out of her cupboard. She's been digging out her unfinished pieces and putting the finishing touches to them. Impressive, and I should be doing that. I was needle felting a Christmas wreath. I have a polystyrene ring about 12 centimetres in diameter and I wound green roving around it and I secured it in by needle felting it. I have a small holly pastry cutter, which I've never used for pastry, biscuits or anything baking, because I'm rubbish at baking. And I used it as a template to make holly leaves with a different colour green. I then made some balls of red felt by needle felting them, and I only cut my thumb once. I attached them to the ring by either needle felting them in or glue gunning them. I have picked a big bunch of hogsweed head, and it's all been dried now, and well, there's plenty of it and it's a weed, so don't worry. And I've spray painted it gold with the help of my son. I now have gold trainers and I had a gold hand for a couple of days. Now, I'm not sure if I'll attach these to the wreath or not, but I have them in a box waiting for Christmas. I was contemplating selling them either made up or in kits, but I want to make one before going further. And unless I'm asked, I won't be. Although Sarah did say today that she would buy one and she would buy a kit. I'm not actually going to sell one to her, you know. It's one of them things. Just don't. but it'll be a really bonny wreath for the inside of my house at Christmas. If the craft fairy gets me some holly, like real stuff, I'll rattle up a few for the outside and put one for my dad's grave and one for my mum's door. There's no point putting it on my door because it would just get blown away. I think the wind would probably see it as a challenge and a joke. Plus, I don't know how to attach them to the door without putting muckle great big nail holes in it. So, how do you attach a wreath to a door without damaging it? Answers on a postcard, please. Remember I said that the project that for Christmas was to finish all the other projects? Well, I got an email to say, let's do a round robin for textile artists of 12 by 12, and it's in the hand-dyed Evelyn Ramsey-inspired piece. And I've written down, ah, which is true. So, of course, I've looked at the piece of material already, haven't I? Because I need to do more round robins. They are actually great fun. Everybody should do round robins because it's just good crack. So on to the textile technique. And this week is on thermofax printing, as promised. You need A. A piece of cotton. B. A thermofax screen of your design choice. You can get them from www.thermofaxscreens.co.uk, which obviously will be in the show notes, and they're sort of made at a reasonable price. It's kind of like buying a rubber stamp or a die cutting template. So you start with one and you think, well, what will I get the most from? Because they are an investment, as in either not like pennies to buy. It's an investment that you're buying them. You also need a squeegee, or, well, you could really use a credit card. Not obviously the one that you're going to buy the Thermofax screen with in the first place, because you'll not be able to read the numbers. Thermofax, textile ink, Procyon powder dyes. Then you need plastic teaspoons, paintbrush, plastic tablecloth to work on, some newspaper, the good old cat litter tray, and some warm water, and some rubber gloves, and your penny. Thermofax screens is a form of screen printing where you use a screen with a design which is burnt into the screen, will let you then force ink through it onto your material. It's used for repeating designs and they can be very intricate. So, you get your work surface covered up very well. This paint stains, so be very careful. Chuck all pets and bairns out the way. Tool yourself up with rubber gloves, old clothes, and if possible, work somewhere where it won't matter if you're messy, and certainly not over your best carpet. Also, print over newspapers because they will absorb the excess ink. When we did this, we were pinning our material onto insulation blocks. But if you try and pin your material down so it won't crinkle, then that's a bit better. Then put down your thermofax screen, where you would like the design to go on it. The screens have this side up written on this side upside. Then spoon a generous couple of scoops along the side of the screen. And if you're right-handed, put it along the left side or vice versa. Then holding the screen steady with your one hand, use the squeegee to drag the ink across the design. It's best to do this twice to ensure that all the design is inked. Do a wee practice run with this if you're going to work on a work of art, like a good piece of material. Then put the squeegee aside in a plastic something that can be wiped clean. Then lift the screen gently up off the material and voila, one image. Now this is the important part. Once you have finished printing with your screen, put it into the cat litter tray full of warm water straight away. Get it washed thoroughly as soon as possible, gently and carefully, and leave it to dry. This will prolong the life of your investment. The printed material is now best left overnight before you set it with a hot iron, and then you can embroider over it or do whatever you want to do with it. It's not hard when you actually do it, it's just having the right inks and screens available to you. Because remember I was saying, I don't know anything about this, it looked far too complicated and not open to me. Well, actually, if you've got the screens and you've got the ink and you've got a little bit of know-how, then it is good fun. The textile artist planned to buy a couple of pattern ones, such as crackled wall and grasses, and then some feature ones, such as the seed heads or dragonflies. And if you're in a group, then that's quite a good idea to do. It's therapeutic to do. You put the screen down, you squeegee the ink over, and there's your pattern. So go on, give it a try if you have the inkling. Thermofax, screen printing, done. A la Gordon Ramsay. On to Highland Spinners, Weavers and Dyers Guild. Now, I've made it back to spinning, and on the night before, I decided to have a wee practice. So, against Mumford & Sons and Friends on the radio, as they were doing a special on Radio 1, and it is great music to spin with. I did a bit, and, ooh, They looked like proper spun yarn. Smugly, I decided to try plying. I fiddled on, getting the bobbins in the right place and correcting my head to what I'm doing, and trying to get the wheel to go left instead of right, and then I plied. I have a lazy Kate, which is grand, although you can use a shoebox if you don't have a lazy Kate. A lazy Kate, for those not in the know, is a stand for putting your bobbins on so they can turn freely and you can organise them. I plied two bobbins together and looks up. Hoots, Mon, help my bob, it's real proper wool and it looks like stuff I can knit with. And it was like big light bulb moment here. Woohoo! I took this along to spinning and I was then shown how to use the niddy noddy, which is what you wind your yarn on to create hanks or skeins so it stretches out and keeps tidy. Plus you can measure it by counting the wraps that you make with the niddy noddy as measured. And the tutor recommended that you label all your hanks and your fleece, as it's easy to forget that you made and when and where and how, which is a very good point. Granted, I only have two fleeces, but, well, you know, I might have more. So, now I have about 40 yards of natural hand-spun mule, or, I don't know, it was white. And also showed me how to use hand carders correctly, and it's all about the flick and the twist of the wrist. Hairy bit to handle, and flick it down. I would say watch YouTube to get this technique, as it was another light bulb moment for me because I had been doing it wrong for a while and it had been putting me off doing it. She suggested that we practice by plying with a dark wool and a light wool and counting the twists to see if it's okay and even. I've done this and it seems to be okay, a bit loose, but well, it'll come with practice. And she showed us the long draw as well as short draw, and it just sounds like something John Wayne would say. I've tried it, but I think I'll stick to short draw the now. Now this spinning leads me on very nicely to the Craft Chamber of Commerce. I was going to call it the Caithness Craft Chamber of Commerce, but as this business is not in Caithness, I can't. But before I go on to it, I would like to invite any other businesses or, well, Yara business if you're selling, just to give us a wee, drop me a line and I'll quite happily do you a wee focus, because this is a very good one and it was so timed, it was brilliant. Sandy Spinners. Now Sandy is spelt Sandaway, and they have just recently relaunched their website on www.sandyspinners.co.uk, and it is that special spelling of Sandy. This will be in the show notes. At spinning class, Caroline mentioned them, and as I was following Wool Gatherer on Twitter, I thought I would ask her if she would like mentioned on this year's podcast episode. So I sent her the usual questions, and here are the replies I got. Question. Firstly, who are you and what is your business? Answer. Sandy Spinners, the business, are Jill Best and Beth Loft. We live on the outer northern isles of Orkney, next door to the seaweed-eating sheep of North Ronaldsay. Sandy is the island, and it is spelled Sandaway. It has a population of just over 500 people, and at least a dozen of these people are now spinners. That's not bad. That was me saying that, not them. So question, why did you start the business? As a lifelong spinner, Jill has been enabling other people to spin for many years. When she arrived on Sandy, it wasn't long before the nucleus of spinning group was formed. New spinners kept asking where they might buy a wheel. As this is a very low income area and we are further challenged by something ludicrous excess charges on delivery, I actually understand completely what she means on this, we wanted to do something to enable new spinners to get up and running without an astronomical outlay. As Ashford users ourselves, we knew that their delivery charges were moderate and that they provided a good quality wheel at a sensible cost. It dawned on us that we might be able to have an Ashford agency and set some generally affordable prices for the spinning ladies of Sandy. We set a small profit margin and designed to initiate a fund that would allow us one day to travel to Woolfest. Take me with you! That was subliminal. Now, we are ready to now spread our wings a little and enable a few other spinners across the UK. Another side to the business is the outlet for the members of our spinning group. We propose to sell as much yarn as they can produce. We also want to provide a shop window for other local crafts, and we are already selling some locally made spinning tools such as niddy noddies and nosty pinnies. We plan to expand the range very soon. Question, what is your unique selling point? We are spinners and knitters and weavers, selling to spinners and knitters and weavers, and mustering all our experience and skills to support that aim. This is no doubt not unique, But we believe that several important elements of our service will be. We want to bring our trading the relaxing atmosphere of our island home and bring a little of the tang of the sea to the business of sailing wheels.
I like that. I think that's lovely.
We will also be selling what we hope are some unique gifts and making yarn and finished goods to order. Perhaps our main difference is the fact that we do not see ourselves as merely a business. We plan to use our website to build up a fantastic resource for fibre artists. We'll also be blogging regularly to help keep our services very personal and fresh. Our customers should be our friends if we get the balance right, and that is what we plan to do. It would be fantastic if every one of our customers felt more than a small tug towards a remote island home. Well, I have to say, I waved at the island as I went past it on Friday night on the way to Westray. And I've never been to Sandy, but if it's anything like Westray or even the mainland of Orkney, it is beautiful. And yes, you should get that tag because it's just a beautiful place of the world. Question, where do you want to take your business? We want to concentrate on value and personal service. We are not aiming to be rich, but we would like to build the business as a level of providing a small income. We are more likely to measure our success by the volume of visitors to our site, using it as a resource and a centre for discussion, than we are to measure it by turnover or profit margins. We are at the heart of the spinning community on Sandy. How fantastic would it be to find ourselves at the heart of the UK spinning community too? I just think that these are brilliant answers and I hope that you do too. I think it's not just about the money, it's not every penny's a prisoner, it's about the community, and Orkney is very much like that. What are your contact details, as people will want to find you to buy? That is not a subliminal message, that is me asking you to. Right, so there is an address, Sandy Spinners, Hillside, Sandy, Orkney, KW17 2BL. Obviously you can find these on the website, but the main event is www.sandyspinners.co.uk, and all the rest of the contact details I have in the show notes. There's email, there's Skype, there's Twitter, there's Facebook, there's Ravelry. Ravelry, their names are Plum Dump and Spinning Jill, and they have a group of the Sandy Spinners. And I would like to say a very big thank you to both Beth and Jill from Sandy Spinners for answering my questions in what is probably a very busy for a week for them. I hope you will all go on to have a nose at their websites and buy and use it as a good resource. I got another email just to say that they're having a competition because their website has been relaunched on the 23rd of October. And they actually let me have a sneak preview and says, to get the ball rolling, we're giving a few prizes to celebrate our grand opening. The first prize is £10 voucher to be used anything in the shop, and they've got second prizes of vouchers for 10% off of anything over £100. And then they've got a Niddy Noddy, Nostipini, I don't actually know what one of them is, could somebody please tell me? Handmade buttons, I actually think I saw some of them on a website and they are quite cool. Then there's hand spun as well. To get your hands on the booty, this is what you have to do. They're really pleased to get the store up in time for Christmas shopping. What we would like you to do is make your list for Santa this year. If you could have anything from the shop for Christmas, what would it be? Tell us together with its current Sandy Spinners price in a comment. We will enter you twice if you post us in your blog, linking this post as a trackback or a pingback that appears in the comments below, because it's the only way that they know we have posted. The competition is open till the 13th of November. And they're going to do it by random, and I'm afraid that current Sandy Spinners aren't allowed in. So good luck with everybody. Please enter and just have a really good look at their website, because I think that they're trying to do this for the community and it's, well, that's cool. So on to Vimto Group. Now, last night with Vimto Group, and it was just me, Caroline and my mum. Caroline came with cakes. Thank you, Caroline, because I'm rubbish at baking, which is really good. And they were very, very nice. She was knitting two hats on one circular needle, as you do. One was a cream aran type and one was a brown. She had hand spun it herself and they both had cable patterns on them. Very lovely. Mom is doing this Steggy cardigan for my Sandy, and it's a dinosaur cardigan. It's just hilarious. Now, I had wool in the house, and in fact, I still got it, And I had said to Sandy, right, choose a pattern out of this book. He said he didn't like any of it because he's four and he doesn't like anything that mummy likes, you know. So then we looked on Ravelry, and thank you, Ravelry, we have a steggy pattern, and it was in Knitty. I think it was in spring. So he said he liked that because he's into all things dinosaur just now. And my mum had said, do you want me to knit for Sandy? And I said, yes, here's the wool. But then he said he didn't want a blue dinosaur. So I had brown Aran wool that matched this pattern. I bought it to go with the book of Aran knits from Sardar or whatever it is. And he didn't like any of them. So I said, well, I've got this wool here, Sandy. And he says, you don't get brown dinosaurs, mummy. So because Sandy can't read, and I'm not playing them this on the podcast, I typed in brown dinosaurs into Google Image. So look, ta-da! How magic is the internet? Look, brown dinosaurs, Sandy. See? Brown Stegosaurus. Wow. So Sandy said he would have this brown Stegosaurus jumper. Or if it's a cardigan with a zip and a hood. So Mum had, I mean, she rattled up most of the front and the back, and then she measured them and took it back out and did it again. And then she had measured them before, but she decided it was too little. And then she got stuck on the Stegosaurus spiky bits up the arm. So we looked up Ravelry, and she spoke to her knitting guru, who is Margaret, who tried it out and suggested she did this. And then Mum has since figured it out with Margaret's help as well. So he also, Sandy got to choose the colours of spikes, and he was gifted a pterodactyl toy. So he is in his element, and he keeps asking his grandma, when is my dinosaur top ready? So she was doing that, and she finished the sleeve, so she's just got the hood to do now. And I reckon she'll probably end up knitting at least two more of these things, because they're cool. And I can't wait for Sandy to go out and about in it and everybody comment on it. Although I'll not be able to say, yes, I knitted it, because no, I didn't. But Mum gets the glory on that one. And I was showing them my Christmas wreath. And also, I was trying to do a swatch from the asymmetrical cardigan that I have on my project list on Ravelry. So, my request from you, that's you, I don't know who you are, but you that understands knitting a little bit better than I, maybe the person that wrote this, wrote the pattern. I don't understand it. I kind of get it, and I can cable. I get the whole how to cable kind of thing. It's the pattern I don't understand. So could somebody please help me? Carling did her best, and she did get me to a point of I could get a bit further down the line with it. But if one of you lovely persons has done this, or is a really good explanation person, explainer of things, couldn't just write out the instructions and email it to me, could you? That would be so much kind. And then I could have this beautiful cardigan. And also what I was doing was doing a swatch to make a handbag, and I'm doing it out of the North Ronaldsay wool that my friend Mari bought me ages ago, because it's natural and it will look brilliant. And then also the round robins scarves, we had some, and Caroline, of course, has just stupended herself. I should have pictures up of these, not tomorrow or tonight, but coming days. We will keep you updated with these, because, as we said, it's not the finished article, it's the fun of doing it. Because everybody's tension's different, everybody's using different sort of wool. But actually just now, so far, the wool is tying in with it. And Caroline is just so gifted. I think she's City and Guild written all over her. So she had crocheted, and then she had hand spun Sarah's own sheep's wool, and she had knitted this wool into Sarah's scarf. And I just thought it was really cool. So Sarah has knitted on Caroline's scarf, which is a cowl more than a scarf, because she says that scarves keep falling off with the wind, and it's a very good point, because they do. I've done a bright pink swatch, which is basket weave pattern, and it looks alright, although granted I should have done two lines of knit at the start because it's a bit wriggly, but then Caroline said she'd sort it by doing some crochet on it. Thank you, Caroline. And we have swapped over, and also Mrs. Dunnett over there in Canisbay, how proud I am of you. Jenny, who doesn't knit, has knitted up and she cast it on herself and she knitted. She did garter stitch and she has used a bonny pink, quite a chunky wool, and it's got a fleck of sparkle in it. And it's what Sarah had when she started knitting. Her oven glove, hat and mitt scarf. It's a story for a different day, but I will tell you it if I haven't already told you it, because it's funny and Sarah will scut me around the back of the head. But she took it out and she had this ball of pink wool that Jenny has knitted up, and it's really cool. So we're well pleased with that. So we swapped them all round, and Rachel's is lovely. It's very natural, and Lisa's added some more natural to it. I think that's it for that. Oh, myself. Well, it is the Me Show, and are you still awake out there? I've got a lot of editing to do to this to get it back down to a shorter one. I told you about the Christmas wreath. I finished the Debbie Bliss baby jumper and the hat. The hat and the wee pink cream clickety-click cardigan on my Ravelry page from a few months ago are heading down to Edinburgh to wee Ellie Sneddon, who was born last week. The jumper and the wee hat knitted in a cream Debbie Bliss baby cashmerino from the Save the Children pattern that my mum had given me. They're going to Ashington to my fave cuz, baby Harry, who was safely born last Friday. I didn't think I had enough yarn for that last hat, and I shortened the pattern by a centimetre, but when I got to the end of it, it turns out that yes, I did. No matter, because it's just for firstborn size anyway. So they've both been parcelled up and they were posted today. I have been carrying on with machine embroidery, my people quilt, a little at a time, and I'll get there, and I'm still enjoying it immensely. I have a bit of a challenge for my husband. He likes to get a hat for Christmas, and this year I suggested that I knit him one. I had been showing him Ravelry's offerings and my Let's Knit offerings, but well, he wasn't keen on many of them, and a lot to do with who was wearing them. I've read this before. If you want somebody to wear something, put it on a dummy. Because the old goes, oh, he's fat, and oh, he's ugly, and oh, look at him. Anyway, so I got out Weekend Knitting from the Melanie Fallick from the library, and I flicked it through when I was sitting beside him. I found Wendy Easton's Brioche, or Brioche, I'm not sure how you say it, hat set, and he said, oh yes, that's what I want. I want it in dark colours, no green. This pattern calls for Brown's Lamb's Pride worsted yarn, which I know Sarah has used in her bonny berry bags. I was tempted to go and knit hers last night, but as I was spinning fleece from Sarah's sheep, which husband helped shear, he said, well, yes, I would quite like it in that wool because I helped shear the sheep. So, he has a choice of Brown, Jacob and Cream, or White Mule, and he's chosen Jacob. I have washed enough of it, but I haven't carded it. Plus, I'll have to get the tension square right for it, and also learn the brioche stitch. But I have found that this stitch has its own website, which is www.briochestitch.com. Well, I'm not afraid of you, who brioche stitch. I just have to get the wool carded and spun and knitted for Christmas, so help me with that one as well. But more the asymmetrical cardigan cable part, you know. And that's about one of the messages for everybody there. So that's me. Next episode, I will do a review of Weekend Knitting by Melanie Fallick. And also, I have another good book from the library to come up with, Beginner's Guide to Felt Making by Shirley Ashler and Jane Bateman. Both of these, I have actually written out the review, but there's not enough room in this podcast. I seem to be getting longer and longer. Not me. The podcast. I get stopped at 5'3". So that's next episode, and also I'll tell Yarn Salad about Iona. So thank you for listening, and if you want to contact me, please do so on Ravelry as Louise G. Hunt, or on Stitching Fingers as Louise Hunt, or Caithness Craft Collective at googlemail.com, or leave a comment on the Poppin webpage. You can get me on iTunes. Oh, speaking of iTunes, my phone is up for contract. I'm wanting an iPhone. Or you can get me on www.caithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com, which is where it's hosted from, or on Twitter as Caithness Craft, and I quite like Twitter. and all the links are on the show notes. So go there, click anything you want more information on. The music this week is Caledonia by Caledonex from musicalley.com, and playing this out. I mentioned this tune last time and it's worth a listen to. And Wild Mountain Times lyrics say, oh, the summertime is coming. But, well, it's not. It's gone. Because the cows have gone away into the shed. The boat is out the water. The geese are here. I would say that, hey, it's autumn. We just have to accept it. We've got the fire on. We've got late nights for knitting. And there we go. So cheers for listening and keep on crafting.
And I think about you all the time.
Yes, I think about you.
Caledonia, you're calling me. Now I'm going.